Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew, I am, of course, William Ramo. What's up, Macaulay?
What's up? How's it going?
Hey, nothing much, man. It's a historic week. We're going to lead off with a little Mets baseball here. We're going to talk about Mets finally made history. We're going to lead off with that show, what happened on Friday night, of course, for some people who don't know. And then we're going to switch gears with the Yankees and how they did. And then we're going to talk what's going on in the NBA Eastern Conference Final, the NHL Stanley Cup Finals between the Kings and the Devils. And then lastly, talk a little sports entertainment, what's going on in WWE and TNA. And, of course, folks, you guys know the number, and feel free to talk sports, entertainment, and everything else. Of course, that number is 917-388-4189. It's 917-388-4189. Feel free to talk about sports, anything, sports, entertainment, and everything else. And without further ado, we're going to talk about what the biggest thing that happened in sports which happened this week. And, of course, I am talking about Johan Santana's first career no-hitter, which also happens to, most importantly, be the first no-hitter in Mets history.
No.
Yep. Mets had 35 one-hitters before Friday night, June 1st, of 2012. But finally, Johan Santana, he solidifies himself in Mets lore as becoming the first and thus far the only Met to throw a no-hitter as a member of the New York Mets. Of course, many men have wore the jersey and threw a no-hitter before they became a Met, and many after who left the Mets threw a no-hitter. But finally, the Mets finally have a no-hitter. Sure, it's a little tainted because Beltran did have a ball that should have been a double that the umpire didn't see, but hey, that's the breaks. The Mets finally threw a no-hitter, and you know Santana, he was pretty much brilliant. I mean,
yep.
before the game started, it was all about Beltran, you know, first day back, you know, facing his former team, the Mets. But at the end of the game, it's all about Johan Santana. What's your thoughts about it? I'll give a little feedback after I hear your thoughts, of course.
I wasn't shocked by it. I knew it would happen sooner or later. You know, it's been 50 years. The Mets organization has been waiting for a no-hitter. And if anyone was going to throw a no-hitter, you'd expect it to be Santana, you know. Of course, the Mets have had a lot of great pitchers in the past, like Seaver.
Gooden.
Kuzman.
Ryan.
And those guys, you know, didn't get a chance. They threw no-hitters with other teams, but they never got a chance to throw a no-hitter with the Mets. But,
They've came close, but, you know, unfortunately, they didn't do it as a Met.
Right, and Johan, you know, he would be the guy you would think would get it done, and, you know, he got it done. You know, there's a couple of calls that the umpires missed, but, you know,
yeah.
It wouldn't have mattered anyway. You know, Johan still pitched great, and, you know, in the end, he deserved it. 234 pitches, we'll see how he pitches next game, but, you know, it's great for the Mets. They finally got their no-hitter, and now the Padres are the only other team who hasn't, the only team left, I should say, that doesn't have a no-hitter in baseball.
Yeah, I totally agree with what you said. Pretty much when Mets first acquired Johan in 08, I was thinking he might be the guy to finally do it. But then afterwards, over time, as like R.A. Dickey has had some moments where he almost did it. So I was thinking, probably going to be a guy, you know, who you least expected who's going to do it, like R.A. Dickey. I mean, look at Philip Umber. He's a former Met. He pitched briefly with the Mets. He was a former Met prospect. He, ironically, I believe, he got traded in this Santana trade.
Yeah.
And, of course, he threw a no-hitter for the White Sox.
Right.
So if you look at Don Larson, of course, in 57, when he threw the no, well, actually it was 56. I was right the first time.
Yeah, 56.
When he threw the no hitter, he was pretty much a career 500 pitcher. But of course, he had that memorable game, being the only guy to throw a perfect game in the World Series.
World Series. Yep.
And you know, he's immortalized forever. So I was thinking it'd probably be a guy you'd least expect it to do it, like R.A. Dickey, you know, a talented pitcher, but, you know, not an ace-type pitcher who would do it. But,
right.
You know, I'm glad Johan Santana finally did it. And to be honest with you, I mean, for years I've been keeping my eye out, you know, watching, you know, noticing when they give up a hit. Like, man, this is never going to happen. I don't know, part of me, it's like my heart was telling me it's going to happen eventually, but my mind's like, it's not going to happen. So while I was watching, you know, the game, like, from the sixth inning on, especially in the seventh inning, I'm like, man, you know, he's getting closer, but I'm like, maybe this might be it, you know.
Yeah.
But then my mind was – but then a part of me was, like, waiting for that other shoe to drop. Because, you know, they had a lot of balls, the Cardinals. They had a lot of balls that could have blooped for hits. We're not even talking about the Beltran non-double, the one that the referee and the umpire didn't see.
Right.
I mean, they had a lot of bloop hits. I mean, Baxter had that great diving catch into the left center field, which I, off the bat, I thought it was the no-hitter was gone for sure. I mean, there was so many. It was like about 5 to 10 balls that I thought, okay, this is it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, shoot. Man, once it got to that ninth inning, man, I'm surprised I'm still talking to you right now. I could have hardly breathed, man. I didn't think it was going to – I don't know. It was, part of me was like, this might be it. Part of me was like, oh, no, you know, they could just blow it, you know. You know, they got to that last out. I was still thinking, I'm like, oh, my gosh. You know, this might be it. Hope he doesn't, you know, make a mistake here. Because he's like over 134 pitches, and in the seventh inning, he was like over 107. And
yeah.
Terry Collins, the manager, said that he was gonna throw up to 110, 115. So, you know, I was getting a little afraid there that, you know, they would just take him out because, you know, they're afraid of the pitch count. But rightfully so, even though Terry Collins, you know, was wondering if he made the right decision afterwards, but he did. I mean, he left him in, and finally Mets, you know, are in the history books, finally snapping that no-hitter.
Yeah.
They've had.
Yeah.
And
not,
I'm very happy about it.
Yeah, I mean, Terry Collins, you made the right move. You know, it was a good move to keep him out there. You have to keep him out there. After the seventh inning with him not allowing a run or a hit, you have to make that. You have to leave him in the game.
Exactly. It was for history.
Yeah.
And so far, Santana says he's okay, you know.
Hopefully,
but,
we see
know,
him in the Yankee series.
Yeah, it might be. Hopefully, best case scenario, we'll see him in the Yankee series Friday night.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they're going to give him a day off, hopefully 2 days. You know, that should get him right, make him start the Yankee series, you know.
I hope his arm is tired.
Hope he's well rested because, you know, he needs all the rest he can get. I mean, he threw 9 more than his career high before. And Santana has his definitive Met moment. I mean, his previous Met moment was the second to last game in 08, where
right.
He pitched a 3-hit gem against the Marlins. And man, Santana was really dealing that game, man. He really willed that team that, you know, that year. But unfortunately, the next day, Oliver Perez stunk up the joint.
Yeah.
Kind of like in 07, the year before that, John Main had his best game of his career. I think he struck out like between 13 to 15 strikeouts against the same Marlins. But then the next day, Tom Glavine had his last game as a Met, and, you know, he gave up like 7 runs in one in like less than 2 innings. I mean, it was an un-Tom Glavine-like performance, and,
yeah,
you know. Santana's 3-hit performance was, of course, the last win Mets had at Shea Stadium.
Right.
And Santana has an even memorable game now. I mean, he's no matter what he does as a Met uniform, he'll always be remembered for that his no-hit performance from June 1st, 2012.
Definitely, definitely. That will be his best moment as a Met.
Yep. Oh,
unless he purchases a perfect game. Thanks,
he throws a perfect game and or win the championship, hopefully,
yeah.
As a Met. But, yeah, this is right now his most memorable moment. And
certainly,
hopefully
yep.
This is just the beginning for him in a Met uniform, even though he is, 33 years old?
Yeah.
He still has it. And
it was a great moment. Indeed. It was moment. Yep.
Yeah, and he is also the third pitcher to throw a no-hitter who missed the previous season. And, of course, this is not including rookies. One of them is, of course, Doc Gooden, the former great ace of the Mets in the 80s, especially that 86 team. And he had his best year in 85. But one of his most memorable games was, of course, the no-hitter he threw as a member of the Yankees in 96.
Yep, that's, I certainly remember that.
So he joins him and somebody else that escapes my head at the moment. who accomplished that feat. So congratulations. Hopefully, Santana will, pretty much continue what he's doing and hopefully bring at least a ring back where it belongs, Flushing Queens. But Saturday, the next day, which was, of course, yesterday, R.A. Dickey, he had a tough act to follow. And before that game, he was joking that he was going to let Jeremy Hefner, the guy so far who's slated to start in the Yankee series, if Santana's not, thrown, if Santana is not given 2 days off, Hefner is is supposed to start in that game as of right now. But R.A. Dickey was joking around and saying that he told the manager that he's going to have Hefner pitch on Saturday because, it's a tough act for him to follow. But he pitched well himself. He had a complete game shutout.
He's been good this year. He's like, 8-1?
Yeah, he's 8-1.
Wow.
Struck out 9 yesterday, gave up 7 hits. I mean, he was pretty much cruising. David Wright hit a home run yesterday, his 6th home run, and he's 1 run away from tying Jose Reyes' all-time Mets record in runs scored.
Oh, okay. Wow, cool.
And Wright says he's not going to negotiate, during the season. He's going to negotiate his contract in the offseason. They have Mets have a 1-year option for him next year, I think at $16 million.
Nice.
But Mets are looking to give him an extension. Hopefully they'll get it done sooner than later. But, I truly believe they're going to get this one done, unlike Reyes. I mean, Wright grew up a Mets fan, because the Mets AAA team was in his hometown, Norfolk, Virginia. So, he grew up watching, Dow Strawberry and all those guys,
right?
Before they became Mets. So, I truly believe he's going to be a Met. Hopefully, the mutual respect they appear that they have for each other, hopefully they'll get it done. So he'll remain a Met and be the first, superstar player that started in his career as a Met.
Yeah, they have to. Can't let him go out like Reyes did.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the only guy who started in his career as a Met was Ed Cranepool, a decent player on the Mets. He started his career briefly in 62, and then he retired, I think, in 78 or something like that.
Right.
So, I mean, he got a championship, with the 69 team. If Wright retires as a Met, he would be the first bona fide superstar player who homegrown Met that stayed his entire career as a Met.
Wow, amazing.
Hopefully it happens.
Yeah.
But Mets tonight, they're going to try to win the series because they're going to pitch tonight against Cardinals. Yep, the same Cardinals team that won the World Series. And statistically, if you look at their stats, they rank number one in every hitting category in the National League, East. Oh, actually, the National League, period.
Right.
That's what made Santana's feat even more amazing. But hopefully Nice has a great performance tonight. They're gonna play later tonight at 8:00. And another big news is that John Franco, the former Met closer and setup man of the 2000 National League champion Mets, he's finally gonna take his home in the Mets Hall of Fame tonight.
Nice.
So, congratulations to him. A Brooklyn-born guy, like Wright. He grew up a Mets fan.
Yep.
And, it's a well-deserved, induction.
Definitely. Good pitcher for the Mets.
Yeah. He always pitched with his heart.
Yep.
I mean, no matter how good his stuff was on that day, he was going to pitch with all his heart and emotion and, try to help the Mets win on that you know, on that certain day. So
yeah,
it's a well-deserved thing, accomplishment for him.
Great week for the Mets.
Yeah, it is. Hopefully they could keep it going, you know, against the Cardinals, the same team that, you know, eliminated them from the playoffs in 06. Mets was one win away from going to the World Series.
Yeah.
But the Cardinals shocked everybody. And, you know, back to that Santana game, that's why it was so sweet to see all the guys who were responsible for Mets losing then getting their butt whooped.
Including Beltran.
Yeah, even better. Yeah, but I mean, Wainwright, who threw the last pitch to Beltran, he lost that game. He started the game.
Yeah.
Yadier Molina, who hit the two-run home run off Howman, which was the game winner for that series. He got a double robbed by Baxter's play. Beltran, I mean, he had a very good career with the Mets. Probably the greatest free agent signing / outfield the Mets ever had. But, you know, unfortunately, I mean, you know, he was always a player that, you know, who had so much talent, but he was in a gritty, you know, dirty uniform type player. I think that was the only reason why he hasn't been fully embraced by the Mets. I mean, I think the Mets fans liked him, but they didn't love him the way a talented player like he would be.
Right.
But, I mean, on Friday, you know, the Mets fans showed him, you know, love. They cheered for him pretty much, you know, because he got traded to the Giants, and we got back a pretty good prospect in Zach Wheeler, unlike Reyes, who the Mets fans really loved, right up there with Wright. But, unfortunately, he left and became a free agent and signed with the division rival Marlins, and that's pretty much why Beltran's standing ovation was better than Reyes's, in my opinion.
Yeah, he was traded. He didn't, you know, he didn't go sign with another team.
Yeah, I think that's the reason why Reyes's reception wasn't as warm as Beltran's one.
Right.
And now, switching gears, hopefully Mets can win this series tonight, and hopefully sweep the Cardinals Monday afternoon. But they got to take care of winning the series tonight. But switching gears to the Yankees, June 1st will not only be remembered for Santana's game, but also 20 years ago on that day, a very familiar Yankee player was drafted on that day. I don't know if you ever heard of his name. Derek Sanderson Jeter?
Yep, boy, Derek Jeter.
Yes, he was drafted on that day. Yesterday they were losing. They came back and tied at 3-3, but they lost in extra innings. Was it in the ninth, I think? Bottom ninth, or was it extra?
Yeah, bottom ninth, Angels. Not Angels, Tigers, I should say.
Tigers, right.
Won the game, I think, on a sacrifice fly.
But the most important thing, you guys bounced back and you guys won tonight, today, 5-1, and give us a little scoop on that.
Yeah, Phil Hughes, he pitched a complete game, his first complete game of his career. He struck out 8, walked 3, Yankees scored 5 runs off Verlander. Verlander just didn't have it today. Give up a home run to A-Rod. Grandison got an RBI. Kunai RBI. Yeah, so Verlander, you know, this is the first time since 2010 that team has beat him twice in a season. So, you know, that's a good feat. And he's lost 3 in a row now, so he's struggling a little bit. And Yankees win the series 2 out of 3 against the Tigers. And right now in the AL East, it's very tight. It's a tight race right now. Orioles have come back to earth. So Yankees are...
expected they would be.
Yeah. So the Yankees are a game behind. And, you know, very tight right now, AL East. We'll see, you know, what happens after the All-Star game break.
Oh, yeah. And it's tight in the NL East also. The Mets is like a game behind the Marlins, who I believe lost today. They're not Marlins, Nationals. They're a game behind the Nationals, because I think they lost to, I think either Braves or Marlins. I can't remember which team.
Yeah.
And Braves, actually. They lost to the Braves, so they're now Mets have a chance to you know, with a win tie for the NL League, and
right.
Marlins also won today, so Mets are trying to win so they could be tied with Marlins and the Nationals for first place. So
right,
the East in both leagues are being pretty tough here.
Yep.
But let's switch gears quickly. The Spurs, they had a 2-0 lead. Now it's down to now it's tied 2-2. Durant, I believe, scored what, 35 yesterday?
36, 18 in the fourth quarter last night.
Yeah, so you know, kudos to the Thunder. I mean, the Spurs were, I mean, they won like 20 something games in a row, including
yep.
the regular season, and they've been cooled off a bit.
Yeah, the Thunder, they're quick, they're young. Serge Ibaka was like 11 for 11 last night. He had 26 points. That really helped them.
And
Kendrick Perkins had 37 points. He is 16 for 18.
Yeah, those guys are playing great. I mean, they need to beat the Spurs. I mean, Spurs have four championships, and you know you got to play practically a perfect game against that team.
Yep.
And
Thunder, they're young and they're running guns, so you know that's the way to beat old guys like the Spurs.
Exactly. Fire them out.
Yep.
And on the other series, the Heat is leading 2-1 after Boston finally won a game in this series. And, you know, they pretty much blew opportunity in game two to take the lead, especially off Rondo's one of the greatest performances, you know, in a losing effort. I mean, by Rondo, he had, like, what, 44 points?
Yeah.
Like, I think, like, over 10 assists and, like, what, 8 rebounds. He had a career game.
Yeah, that was a great game by him, but they lost that game, too.
Yeah, I know, but fortunately for them, they won. So they're down now in the series 2-1.
Yeah, tonight they're looking to tie it up.
Oh yeah. And switching gears to the Stanley Cup quickly, you know the Kings, they're up 2-0. You know, they came to to New Jersey. I mean, they have, you know, these guys, I mean, they're like the modern day hawk and animal. I mean, they're the new World Warriors.
Yeah, the other Kings, they're beasts, man.
Oh, what were you saying? I'm sorry, I apologize.
The Kings, they're beasts. They're like 14-2 in the playoffs.
Yeah, and they're pretty, practically unbeatable on the road.
Yeah.
They got like an amazing winning streak on the road.
Yeah,
they're
gonna sweep. I think they're gonna sweep
like,
the series.
Yeah, it looks like it's gonna be a sweep. I know Devils is tough. I mean, us rooting for the Rangers, we know firsthand. You know,
yeah.
So team was, but man, it looks like Kings gonna do it. They're bringing the broom back home.
They're gonna win their first Stanley Cup, I think, right?
Oh yeah, it definitely looks.
Yeah. Screw the Devils.
they can go to hell. But seriously, switching gears. Lastly, to TNA, they announced on Thursday, since they're you know live on over the summer, that they're gonna have their own Hall of Fame.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so, I mean, congratulations to them. I mean, they've been kissing the WWE Hall of Fame this whole time. It's about time that they have their own Hall of Fame for themselves. And Miz, on Raw, Big Show, got suspended 60 days.